The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Welcome to Build Your Tribe, Car Smart Edition. Now, as you know, I have a lifestyle podcast called The Chalene Show. And on Fridays, I've been experimenting with kind of a new format where I record it from my car on my iPhone, and it's just my unfiltered thoughts. And I think there's something about this format that just really makes people feel connected, you know, like we're driving in the car together, just having a real and honest and organic conversation, you know, because there's no notes, there are no retakes, it's just me from the heart. And what I'd like to do from time to time is share that kind of approach with you here on Build Your Tribe. So this episode is just that. It's a recording of myself and my husband, Brett. And we were in a rental car and we were just returning back to our hotel. We were on a trip to Boise, Idaho with our daughter, Sierra. She was there for a track meet. She was running an 800 at an indoor track meet. Anyways, I started recording us as soon as this subject came up and I knew, oh my gosh, this is something that people ask about all the time, especially my listeners on Build Your Tribe. So we were just a few seconds into the conversation and I knew that we both had really very strong opinions and that we would need to take a few more laps around the block. Enjoy this conversation between myself and my husband, Brett.
Welcome to Build Your Tribe with your host, Chalene Johnson.
Let me ask you a question, because people ask us this a lot. Why do you think we're able to work together running a business and so many people can't?
Because we totally do different things. Totally. And we don't go into that lane too much.
Cross over into
the lanes? We're both in our own lanes, and every once in a while we have to kind of merge into the other person's space. Mm-hmm. You know, just for opinions and stuff. But typically, I think we both do a really good job of like letting the other person have their expertise and ask questions, but like when it comes to certain things, it's just going to be that person's expertise is going to be the decision making, and both of us are okay with that.
Mm-hmm. If I may, I think you come into my lane a little bit more than I come into your lane.
No, 100%. But I think I'm also asked to come into your lane a little bit more than, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, well, you know your what? Lane is so big that I have to come into your lane sometimes, or we wouldn't be able to get everything done, or at least help with it, you know?
I was just going to say that my lane was much wider, and yours was pretty narrow. And then as you've gained more confidence in marketing and just entrepreneurship and business, blah, 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 it makes a lot more sense for there to be, for my lane to narrow a little bit and yours to widen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, back 5-6 years ago, mm-hmm. It definitely wasn't that, like, I didn't have that comfortability. I wasn't comfortable enough to do that. So probably caused a little bit more stress on you and a little bit more pressure on you. And then now I can think of 40 times in the last year where, you know, 5 or 6 years ago, you would have never had me write the emails that I write back to people now that I do. And you're comfortable with it. Like, you don't even ask to, like, read them first or...
It's not that I wouldn't have asked you to, but I would have wanted to, like, make sure the punctuation and grammar were not like a text message.
Yeah. And probably the comfortability of just, like, using the right language or using the right, like, verbiage, depending on, like, what person we're talking about emailing back.
1,000%. You know, you used to, it's also like we can work together because of the way that we offer each other feedback. The way you used to communicate is more direct, you know what I mean? And I mm-hmm. would, if I was going to soften an email or a text message, I would just say like, you know, they might read into that. Why don't you start with a, like, we loved meeting you and you're all, you know, the fluff.
Yeah.
And you were more like, okay, facts. Mm-hmm. Why would they read between the lines?
That's true.
And now you do that. Like, sometimes you'll send me a text message that you sent to someone or an email, and I'm like, wow, that's really good. I wouldn't have thought to say all those things.
Well, I think a lot of our business has been like that, is kind of just, since you were the entrepreneurial spirit out of both of us, obviously, and I've learned how to do it, like reading your emails, reading your text messages to people gave me the voice to do it, so it doesn't sound like it's, because like a couple times, you know, in the past, like I've said, I gotta write this email, I just don't know how, or uh-huh. or this text message, and you're like, well, let me do it, and I would read it and I'd go, okay, that doesn't sound like me. Yeah. But I understand the softness that you're, what that you want, or that should be in it, or
got it,
or so then I just learned to do it.
Yeah. Okay, so let's not name names, but we have friends who also work together, and they're also in opposite lanes, meaning like he has a strength, she has a strength, and it still doesn't work. Why is that?
Probably because it's got to be the number one thing. It's got to be their communication isn't up to speed. They're not communicating their expertise.
Wait a second. Isn't this such a first date over here? You can just tell by the way they're sitting. Oops, yeah. And she saw me point at her.
Yeah. Yeah, because why would you wear like a white kind of open kind of blousey and just bright red lipstick to go get coffee?
I can just tell by their body language. Anyways, go ahead.
So I think the communication, if you're going to have two people work together, uh-huh. right? It's an obviously... Everything's important in business, and like, you know, little things can, you know, make or break you, or cost money, or cost you a relationship or a vendor or anything like that. So depending on what roles the two people have, the spouses have, mm-hmm. that if there's not communication going on, like as the CFO, if I'm not telling you what we're doing with the money, mm-hmm. and you're just assuming I'm handling it, mm-hmm. and then all of a sudden, you know, 5 or 6 months go by and I haven't been telling you anything, and then yeah. all of a sudden you know, I tell you something that went wrong that you probably wouldn't have agreed with, or I think people don't communicate, and they just assume that the other person's going to be okay with it.
Well, that's what we used to do.
I think that's what happens. I think people you know, and vice versa, that you know, you just start creating a bunch of stuff as an entrepreneur, and you're just like, okay, well, does that make sense to do that? Is that worth the time, or is that going to cost us more than it does to that, you know, to produce it, than it is going to be, you know, on the bottom line? And then just the understanding too, when, because a lot of times we create things now uh-huh. that aren't meant to be for profit. They're meant to, you know, to drive our business, you know, to, for content, for people to
serve,
get to
customers.
Know us, and you know, and that's something that if you're not communicating that to your spouse, like, you know,
what's the intention behind
what's
it?
The intention behind this? Are we gonna, is the intention behind this program, product, content to make money, or is it to give further instruction or
serve
or anything like that to our customer? You know, that helps a lot. And now I think you and I do a really good job of communicating that,
mm-hmm.
so that we know exactly like what the other person's doing. And the other thing, the last thing that I'll add to this is, we didn't always used to do this, but now I think we do a good job. We listen to the other person explain completely what they want to do. Mm-hmm. And then we have a open conversation about it, rather than just like, no, I don't want to do that, or yes,
which
I'm going to do that.
Falls under communication too.
Yes.
I agree. I would add to that, I think the number one reason where I see couples who can't be in business together is, and maybe it's just the circle of people who I'm thinking of right now, the female makes the male feel like he's not good enough, he's never going to do it right, she has to redo it, she's carrying all the weight, I'm doing everything. And I'm not just thinking of like two or three people, I'm thinking of like five uh-huh. people that we know who are, they're in business together, and she doesn't let him develop those strengths. She rushes in and you effed it up, you did this wrong, I'll just do it, I'll take it back, it's always me, I've got to do everything, you don't do anything right. Like, I'm not saying they like flat out say these things, but that's the message. If you're in a relationship and you're boyfriend and girlfriend, husband and wife, in a partnership romantically and in business, and you don't make that other person feel like they are the moon, you're making them feel like shit. That partnership is never going to work.
No,
as a business,
automatic resentment.
Yeah, and as they say, resentment kills relationships. So it's going to kill a business relationship and their romantic relationship.
Just think, let's go outside of a spouse relationship, partnership, right?
Okay.
If you're in business or you're in anything in life, and you always feel, whether you know you're the breadwinner or you're the CEO or whatever, you're just this whatever you are in the business. If you're doing business with another company, and you feel that that company always is undermining you, giving you the wrong end of the deal, not you know trying to take advantage of you,
or doesn't value what you bring to the table.
Yeah, you're going to automatically resent that other company, and you what do you start doing? You start looking for somebody else to do that business,
and you stop caring and trying.
Yeah, or they're always the vendor that's always the worst to deal with. You're going to resent that vendor, and you're going to go look for somebody else. Well, so what's the difference if you're doing that to your partner in business? If you're always like taking it back, or you're saying that was done wrong, or this is late, why this was supposed to be done yesterday? Then you're going to resent that, and then that business partner or your spouse is going to say, like, I don't need this. I'll just go do what I was doing before, or I'll go find something else to do that I don't have to deal with that I'm always doing it wrong.
I like that you said, let's take it out of a marital relationship, right? Or a partnership, a romantic partnership. Let's just take it out of business for a second, because I can think of husbands and wives who it was never going to work because one partner kind of took on the role, like, I'll do everything. And if he tries to do anything, it'll be wrong. He'll mess it up. I'll take it back. And then once you start taking back everything, like, oh, he can't change the diapers the right way, she doesn't, you know, she doesn't cook the right way, you start taking all these things back. And every time you take something back, you become resentful. And the person who you've taken it away from feels like they're not good enough and they're never going to do it right. And then it becomes this complete imbalance of power and responsibilities and total resentment, and relationships fail for that reason too.
Did you give the advice to somebody, hey, when your husband starts to change a diaper and he goes in and changes the diaper and he puts it on backwards the first time, don't even question it, just let him do it, or anything like that?
Was advice I gave to a friend when we first had Brock and she had a baby, and she was saying how he, I said, does he help, you know, how involved is he? And she was telling me everything that he did wrong. Baby was like a couple months old. P.S. They're divorced.
So it was somebody that was basically telling you that he tried to help, but he was doing everything wrong, so I just did everything.
Yes.
And you took that as like, are you kidding me? Like,
he's
trying to help. Realistically, what's the big deal if the diaper's on backwards?
You can't get better until you fail.
Yeah, so you just like, you know, you let them change the diaper. You're like, oh, you know what? You put that diaper on. Why don't you go change the diaper? And then they'll see like, oh, I did that wrong.
Let's talk about couples, partners, where we see it's working and why we think it works. I'll give the first one. I think seeing the way that, I can't think of his name right now.
We're going to name names?
Yeah, I think that's okay. Spoke at our event.
Hyatt.
Oh, Michael Hyatt and his wife are a great example. First of all, they, you know, really approach their business and their marriage and their family from a Christian standpoint. He's constantly referencing her. It's a complete position of respect, and respecting his shortcomings, honoring hers, recognizing that he might be the face of the business and, you know, the person who's on the podcast or on the stage, but it's because of her strength and her boundaries and what she brings to the relationship that makes the business successful. There's not ego involved.
I have another one.
Okay.
And it's probably the one that's closest to you and I.
Okay.
But opposite sex.
Okay.
Bo and Don Eason.
Perfect.
So Bo is the equivalent of you, and mm-hmm. Dawn is the equivalent to me. And it's funny
1000%
that if we open up our text messages right now, Dawn probably texts me more, and Bo probably texts you more.
1000%
And that's just the way, just the way it is. Like,
they do everything together. Yep. He gives. It's about giving credit too, and it's about letting that partner, their strengths. Fill in the gaps where you're weak and recognizing your weaknesses, right? Yeah. Wouldn't you say that with them?
Well, 100%. And I never thought about it as like, not that I would resent it, but it was just like, okay, I'm the one that has to do like the travel plans and the schedule and stuff like that. But when I think about what goes into that, like travel, detail, plans, rental car, hotel, food, all that kind of stuff, if the person that in your case had to be on stage or perform or do something and then also had to do all the logistics, that takes up too much brain power.
So true.
And the fact that you and somebody like Bo is able to, you know, not have to worry about that and just like just be able to spend you know, a couple hours on a flight, a couple hours, you know, an hour in a car, check in a hotel, and never have to worry about it. It's like that. It's already handled. Like, your brain can already start going to your creative side.
So you have to have empathy and understanding, and maybe a better word than empathy is total appreciation for the things that your partner does, even if you don't do them. So I think it'd be really easy for someone to say, like, oh, it's ridiculous. I have to do the podcast. I have to go on stage. I have to do the videos. And you're forgetting all the things that went in, all the things you didn't do, right? Yeah. So, for example, and I try to tell you this and not enough, but just the fact that you deal with all of our finances and our accountants and our investments and, you know, making sure that our money is making us money and the paying of employees and the operations and the percentages and the negotiations and the attorneys and the all of that stuff. I can't think of anything harder or worse to do, but we wouldn't be where we are. We wouldn't have the homes that we have. We wouldn't have the ability to take care of the people that we take care of. I mean, just that is such peace of mind, and I always try to remind
myself. No, you do a really good job.
Myself to remind you how much I appreciate it, because I couldn't do it.
No, but you do an excellent job, and I feel very appreciated in the things that I do. And I think a lot of people, where the struggle hits, is, like you said, it's almost like you don't see the behind the scenes.
Yeah.
Like, you don't see, like, there's going to be this massive...
You see the circus. You don't see the people who built the tent and trained the animals.
You're going to see this insane halftime show at the Super Bowl with Justin Timberlake. And, like, everybody's going to comment about his performance, but dude, there are so many people working for him right now to make him look good.
Yes.
And I guarantee you can just tell by his personality that he's appreciative of those people. And I've, you know, you've seen documentaries of people like that, and you know, you're thanking that person that is, you know, helping you. That's never going to be seen.
Yep. Goes a long way.
Yeah.
Good podcast.
Very good podcast.
Thanks for being here.
Love you.
Love you too.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that. Thank you for tolerating the, you know, as I would say, the very real audio version. I mean, obviously we're recording it in the car. If I had to summarize what Brett and I both agree makes for a strong partnership, whether it's in business or in marriage, it would be the following: loving, honest, and patient communication. It's mutual respect, and it's not just appreciating the other person, it's expressing that appreciation and doing it sometimes in front of other people. Or if you're the person who has the stage, who has the audience, if you're the person who is out front, as I like to say, it's really important that you acknowledge the people who have built the stage. It's also appreciation for each other's natural strengths. It's appreciation for those things that you don't have to do, that you sometimes take for granted. It's not taking things back or redoing or undermining your partner. It's honoring and respecting each other, not just in your actions, but also in your words. It's listening. And listening without already deciding what way you're going to come out, right? Like, to truly listen means, okay, I'm going to have an open mind and I'm going to let this person convince me, because, you know, opposites attract, and you're just shutting the other person down if you've already decided before they've even had a chance to explain themselves whether or not you agree with something. And it's staying in your lane and letting go of what doesn't need to be in your lane. Stop being a control freak. Allow each other to grow. It's kindness, and ultimately it's approaching business knowing that what's really important is, I mean, who cares if your business is successful, if your partnership, your friendship, your relationship suffers in the process. It's about making the other person know how significant and important they are. So if you're in a relationship and you're an entrepreneur or a wannabe entrepreneur, I suggest you share this episode. Share it by clicking the three little dots on the right-hand side, or, you know, sometimes you'll see, depends upon what podcast app you're listening to this on, but there's usually a share button. Okay, but here's the deal. When you click share, and I want you to text this to your significant other, but here's a really important part. Include in that text message, which will have a link to this show, a message from you that says, listen, after listening to this, I realize that I don't tell you often enough how much I appreciate, boom, fill in the blank. And, you know, just be honest about, after listening to this, like, what do you realize? You don't spend enough time letting your partner know you appreciate that they do, or strength that they have. Because I'm telling you, they'll be much more likely to listen to this episode when the suggestion to listen to it comes with words of appreciation. Okay, thanks so much for listening to this edition of Build Your Tribe, the Car Smart Edition. I want to say thank you to my husband, my partner, and the world's greatest dad, I'm not even joking, Brett Johnson. Now, let us know what you think about this format. You can send both of us a message. I am on Snapchat. It's probably the easiest way to reach me. My handle is all one word, Shalene Official, no spaces. Brett's is, you might want to write this down, Hangry, as in hungry and angry, Hangry Chef, again, no spaces. And let us know what you thought. And by the way, if you don't have Snapchat, don't worry. I will put a link below this in our show notes of all the places where you can find us in social media. And we really appreciate hearing your feedback. It would be awesome to hear from you. As always, it is my goal to be brief, to be bright, to make it fun, and then be done. We're done for now. I'll catch you on the next episode. This edition of Build Your Tribe was brought to you by 131 Movement. Stop dieting. Save your brain. Save your gut. Live longer. Feel better. Stop going on a diet or following somebody else's rules, and figure out what it means to have your own diet. Figure out a method that actually serves you, that helps you to be a better version of yourself. Let go of all of this craziness and confusion that surrounds diet, and understand the science of one, the study of one. Join the 131 movement today. We're taking back the word diet and getting what we are rightfully entitled to, which is our health. You deserve not just to look amazing, but to feel amazing. I'd love for you to learn more about my personal journey and why this is a true passion for me. I invite you to learn more by going to 131movement.com.